Who's the most imaginative screenwriter working today? A lot of people would name Charlie Kaufman. Kaufman won an Oscar for his screenplay for Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. He's also been nominated for his screenplays for Being John Malkovich and Adaptation. Now, his stories have inspired a collection of essays called The Philosophy of Charlie Kaufman. Kim Evans contributed an essay on his 2002 film, Adaptation.
Isn't that just the risk one takes for attempting something new? I should leave here right now. I'll start over. I need to face this project head on.
And God help you if you use voiceover in your work, my friends. God help you. It's flaccid, sloppy writing. Any idiot can write voiceover narration to explain the thoughts of a character. Okay, that's it. 1 hour for lunch.
Your essay focuses on the 2002 film Adaptation. It was written by Charlie Kaufman, directed by Spike Jonze. I'm sure there are some of our listeners who are not familiar with it. Can you give us a kind of brief synopsis of the storyline of Adaptation?
Yep, I can sure try. It's the story of a screenwriter, Charlie Kaufman, who's been hired to make out of a lyrical, meditative piece of nonfiction prose a film script. And Charlie Kaufman is not a struggling writer, because his talents have been recognized. But he struggles as a writer, in part because he has the twin goals of, on the one hand, trying to be true to his material, and on the other, writing something new. And then complicating this scenario is the fact that the material that he's working with, Susan Orlean's The Orchid Thief, is a book that isn't really about anything, or Charlie says it's about disappointment. The writer Susan Orlean is a staff writer for The New Yorker, and the book began life as one of those sprawling New Yorker essays about, loosely, about the aspirations of a orchid poacher, John LaRoche. And then there's the matter of Charlie's crippling self-consciousness, which occasionally dips into self-loathing, but really is also the source of his genius.
So many things to talk about. But basically, this is a film about the difficulty Charlie Kaufman has writing a film about the difficulty that Charlie Kaufman has writing about but at the same time, as you say in the essay, there really is nothing in this film that is referential. So you're saying we're really not to make anything of the fact that the character Charlie Kaufman, played by Nicolas Cage, is struggling to adapt Susan Orlean's book, which is the same thing that's facing the real life Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah. What we want to remember is that, of course, everything, and Charlie Kaufman would say this, everything is autobiographical whether you want it to be or not. But he's also trying to get us to think that there is a real difference, an important difference between fiction and reality, and also between fiction and the kind of writing that is interested in writing about reality. And so what he's giving us is an argument for fiction, what fiction's for and what fiction is. And that is the reason why I think it's important to understand that when Charlie Kaufman, the writer, names Charlie Kaufman, the character, Charlie Kaufman, he's not asking us to think about himself. In fact, he names him Charlie Kaufman so that he stops us from thinking about himself and asks us instead to think about the things that he was thinking about, which is to say that we are forced, because we know that Charlie Kaufman, played by Nicolas Cage, isn't Charlie Kaufman, we're forced to think about the ways in which Charlie Kaufman was living and what he was dealing with, rather than who he is and where he lives and what he eats and et cetera.
But of course, anytime we watch a movie, there is a character played by an actor whose face we know. We understand from the beginning that it can't be the real person. So you're one step back. This is asking us to take yet another step.
I'd say it's even a step forward, in part because when we see a film about a guy who we know played by another guy, we know that it's being played. But we also know that the player is in some sense channeling this real person. So when Charlie Kaufman names his character Charlie Kaufman, he does something magnificently simple and yet extremely effective at helping to ensure that what we're watching is fiction. Because he names him Charlie Kaufman, we're forced to think about the fact that this character isn't in fact Charlie Kaufman. I mean, it's not an eternal regress is what I'm saying. He's actually thrusting us into the world of his fiction by insisting that this character, who's obviously a character, has his own name.
There's a further complication, of course. Not only does Nicolas Cage play Charlie Kaufman, but he also plays the twin brother Donald Kaufman. But there is no Donald Kaufman in the world we live in, right? He doesn't exist.
Well, you know, He doesn't exist.
Maybe he does.
Well, he forces us to think about the existence. And when we think about that, we understand that the material reality is quite different from something's existence, right? So there is obviously no body belonging to Donald Kaufman walking around in the world. But that voice that says to Charlie Kaufman, the writer, hey, you know what? You could work a lot less hard and make a lot more money. That voice exists.
There are no rules, Donald. And anybody who says there are
not rules. Principles. McKee writes that a rule says you must do it this way. A principle says this works and has through all remembered time.
The script I'm starting, it's about flowers.
Oh.
Nobody's ever done a movie about flowers before. So there are no guidelines.
What about Flowers for Algernon?
Well, that's not about flowers.
Okay.
It's not a movie.
I'm sorry, I never saw it. Okay, keep going.
Look, my point is that those teachers are dangerous if your goal is to try to do something new. And a writer should always have that goal. Writing is a journey into the unknown. It's not building, one of your model airplanes.
McKee is a former Fulbright scholar, Charles. Are you a former Fulbright scholar?
That voice is, of course, a voice that could speak to Charlie Kaufman. And if Charlie Kaufman gave that voice more authority, then we wouldn't have Charlie Kaufman's films and we wouldn't be able to have these kinds of conversations. So I'd say, yeah, he exists.
In your essay, you write that whatever gets cooked up in adaptation will be man-made, but assembled in a way that suggests supernatural rather than natural agency. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah. I will try. Let's say that it has something to do with the fact that this is a story that is like the story of Genesis. Okay, so let's start there. Then Genesis is the story of how the world in which we live was made against a background of infinite obscurity, right? Of blackness 10 times black. And if you happen to be secular, that's a way of saying that what sustains the world isn't something that's foundational. It's not what came before it, but something that's compositional, right? That the world's sustained by a kind of attention to the conditions of its own creation. And the idea that the world is this kind of composition is fundamental to a writer like Charlie Kaufman, who is obviously interested in composition as opposed to reflection when it comes to writing. And what he wants to do is create a world in that same way that reflects the truth of the world in which he lives, but not because it reflects the things in the world in which he lives. And what he needs to do then is pay attention to the conditions of the creation of the writing.
In the book, you also suggest that he tries to work around Genesis, perhaps, by thinking in Darwinian terms. He takes Charles Darwin and the way his thoughts affect his efforts to adapt the book, and he starts going the way we are tempted to do often by saying, okay, there was this and then that and then the other. But it quickly becomes very confusing for him, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, although I would say that Genesis, actually, Genesis as a story and the story that Darwin tries to tell us are, in fact, very similar stories. This might get me a lot of hate mail from your listeners, but in fact, the story that Darwin's trying to help us understand is that whenever you look at something, whenever you grasp something, you're actually grasping the whole history of its evolution. That the thing you think you're coming into contact with is just a picture of a long story that reaches back to the beginning and reaches forward to not an end, but an ongoing middle. And so that whenever you look at something, you're actually looking at its evolution. And that's a very hard idea. And that's also the idea in Genesis, that what we have is not a story that has, in the Hellenistic tradition, right, a beginning and a middle and an end, but a story that is always ongoing, a story that is, Deleuze would say, all middle, and Genesis says is all beginning, that it's a beginning that begins again, and as it keeps beginning, you're forced to think about where you place yourself in the story. That these two stories are helping us to remember that three-act structure that we're given, that we're told, is the way that we think, is actually a terrible disservice to both the idea of existence and to the idea of story.
And this is actually a very appealing idea to Charlie Kaufman, who wants to be constantly in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, does he want to be? No. Who wants to be always in the beginning? But when you tell that story and you tell it again and then you start again with the beginning and then you find that you want to go farther back, but you can't. I mean, he has that great moment when he's struggling and he can't work, and then he has this insight about Darwin, right? And how understanding anything means understanding the whole history of its life, which is to say all life. And he goes back and he tells this evolutionary story, and it's this moment of euphoria. And then the film captures perfectly the tragedy of listening to his ecstatic voice recycle this list.
Start right before life begins on the planet. All is lifeless. And then life begins with organisms, those little single cell ones. Oh, and it's before sex, because like everything was asexual. From there, we go to bigger things, jellyfish. And then that fish that got legs on it and crawled out on the land. And then we see, you know, like dinosaurs. And then they're around for a long, long time. And then an asteroid comes and flork!
The insects, the ascendant mammals, the primates, monkeys, the simple monkeys, the old-fashioned monkeys giving way to the new monkeys, whatever, and then apes, whatever, and man. Then we see the whole history of human civilization, hunting and gathering, farming, war, love, religion, heartache, disease, loneliness, technology. We bring it all the way to this moment in history and end with Susan Orlean in her office at the New Yorker writing about flowers, and bang, the movie begins. This is great. This is the breakthrough I've been hoping for. It's never been done before. It's, it ties everything.
He is a genius.
It's perfect.
What we see as we see his flat voice listening to his euphoric voice is how ridiculous it is that Bronze Age would follow farming, or that, you know, man follows monkeys. That this thing that also Darwin was trying to help us understand is that even as things are linked, there's always these spaces, this unpredictable opportunity for new things. And as a writer, Charlie Kaufman is interested in new things, in the eruption of new things.
Kim Evans is the author of the essay Charlie Kaufman, Screenwriter. It's featured in the book The Philosophy of Charlie Kaufman, edited by David LaRocca.